All right, take your Bible and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll go there first. 1 Corinthians. And just while you're going that direction, let me just get us on the right track. And for those people that are home and new there, so you don't have to turn to it, 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we, talking about us, we walk by faith and not by sight. Same book, 1 Corinthians 1:22, the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Jews have to see it. They have to lay eyes on it, just like Thomas did in the upper room. He said, unless I see, able to touch and feel, I will not believe. So Jews require a sign. We walk by faith and not by sight. I know that's repetition. I know we've already been over that. But I'm trying to get our bearings where we're going and headed in the right direction. So then we started talking about, we first divided the Pauline epistles. This is sometimes you take it for granted that everybody knows and everybody has seen that before. But Paul wrote some books during the Acts. Acts is a history book. So Galatians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, Romans, 1st and Corinthians, where we're reading tonight, was written during the Acts period between Acts 9 and 28. Paul was saved in 9, so obviously he didn't write anything before chapter 9. He got saved chapter 9. And so after that, between 9 and 28, he writes these books called the Acts epistles. These books are where he visited Corinth, Thessalonica, Galatia, etc. And then Acts 28, Paul goes to prison. And in prison, he writes Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. That's why I've got this little imaginary line drawn here in the middle of the church age, because these books, Acts epistles written here, these were written while he was in prison. So, with all of that said, the last few Wednesday nights, I've tried to build upon and try to get your mind ready for tonight. When Jesus was born, the Bible is very Jewish. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all Jews. And it was all about bringing in a kingdom, the Jews bringing in a kingdom and all of that. We've already been to Mark 16 and talked about taking up serpents, tongues, healing, drinking deadly poison, all of that kind of stuff in Mark 16. Because Jews require a sign, they have to see it. Now, with all of that said, we're going to look tonight at some of the spiritual gifts. Those spiritual gifts are found in Romans 12. There's a list of spiritual gifts. I'll give them to you real quick. The gift of prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, ruling, mercy. Those spiritual gifts are found in Romans 12. In 1 Corinthians 12, where we're fixing to read, here's a list of gifts, spiritual gifts. Wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, interpretation of tongues, helps, government. And then in Ephesians 4, there are these gifts. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teacher. That pastor-teacher thing is almost like the same person. If you'll look at it, we'll look at it in a minute. Anyway, here's all your spiritual gifts. You say, what is your spiritual gift? Somebody asks you what your spiritual gift is. It's one or two of these, found in these three locations. We're fixing to read it, 1 Corinthians 12. Does everybody have every one of these? No. And we'll see that in a minute. You may have one, you may have two. Your spiritual gifts, you may have a couple. And then there are some of these spiritual gifts that were intended for apostles to reach Jews, and they're called sign gifts. Gifts of tongues, healing, drinking deadly poison, handling snakes, all that kind of stuff, sign gifts that were going on here, but tapered off. And when Acts 28, Paul goes to prison, that's why some of the gifts in Ephesians, you don't see mentioned again. Very interesting. And this is what you call rightly dividing the Bible. people get so confused and mixed up about, have you got the gift of the Spirit? Well, if you're saved, you at least got one of these. Maybe two. And it goes like this. Just for an illustration before we get into the study. You ever got one of those credit cards in the mail? And if you sign up, you get this credit card in the mail. If you sign up, not only do you get this credit card in the mail, but you get 5,000 bonus points to go along with it. All right. When you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit right then and there. You don't have to wait. He comes and lives inside of you right then. And if you get saved and join this offer, you get 5,000 bonus points to go along with it. I'm getting excited, and you're not even supposed to get excited on a Wednesday night. Along with the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, along with the Holy Spirit that lives on inside of me, I get some bonus points. And you say, why do I need a gift of the Spirit? It's because everybody, I'm talking about the whole body of Christ, the church as a whole, not necessarily, but let's just narrow it down to this church, and let's 1 Corinthians 12 compares it to a physical body. Some are feet, some are hands, some are nose, some are eyes, ears, nose. Everybody can't be an ear. Everybody can't be a nose. Everybody in this church has a diversity of these for the edifying of this church, this body. If everybody that was a member of this church only had the gift of ministry, then we would be weak as a church in some of these other areas. Right? So everybody can't have the same gift, or we would be off balance, if you will. All right. Now, I think I've rumbled enough about that. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. You're in 12, but before you get to 12, I want to look at chapter 3, because 1 Corinthians, the Corinthian church, all right, was a bunch of spoilt brat babies. They moaned and groaned and griped and complained about everything. So Paul has to write them a letter and say, hey, would y'all please grow up and quit acting like a bunch of kids? I'll give you, for instance, in chapter 3, he calls them a bunch of babies over here in chapter 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. He said, I fed you with milk, not with meat. Whether to hear you're not able to bear it. I tried to feed you a steak on a Wednesday night, and you choked. So I had to go back to milk, because you're not growing. For ye are yet carnal. So you got carnal, and then look what he says. For where is there is among you envying, strife, divisions? Are ye not carnal and walk as men? So on and so forth. Then he goes down in verse 5 and 6, and they start griping and complaining about who baptized them. Look, who then is Paul? Who then is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he's watering watereth, but God giveth the increase. That ain't where I was. Chapter 1 is where they were arguing about. Let's see, chapter 1, here we go. I apologize, I'm all over the map. Verse 12 of chapter 1. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? All of this church was saying, well, Paul baptized me. He was the founder of it. He started this church. He baptized me. I'm more important than you because you got baptized by the associate pastor, Apollos, but I was baptized by Paul. Paul's like, are we not all working for the same guy? Who cares who baptized you? Grow up. That's what he was talking about. And then in chapter 3, he calls them babies. Now, I'm going somewhere. I'm building this thing up for a reason. So the whole purpose of 1 Corinthians is, church of Corinth, wake up, quit acting like a bunch of babies, and all of this. Well, then you go to chapter number 11, and they're confused about the Lord. They're doing the Lord's Supper wrong. Instead of doing the Lord's Supper like, you know, taking the, you know, the grape juice and the unleavened bread like, you know, we do, they were bringing potluck and calling it the Lord's Supper. Paul says, y'all got houses to eat in. Eat at your house. When you come to church, this is for the Lord's Supper and all of that, without reading the whole chapter. He's getting on to them and correcting them about things that they were doing. Chapter 3, remember? Chapter 1, they were arguing about who baptized them. Chapter 3 calls them babes in Christ. There's envyings and divisions and all of this. By the time you get to chapter 11, they're bringing potluck into the church and calling it the Lord's Supper. We're having fried chicken, mashed potatoes, and all of this, you know, for the Lord's Supper this Sunday. And Paul's like, what you do? So he corrects them on that. So then chapter 12, well, guess what? Chapter 12, he goes over all these spiritual gifts. And guess, just take a wild guess. I wonder if the Corinthian church was doing these right or wrong. Probably wrong, because Paul's having to deal with it. And he writes a whole chapter about spiritual gifts. Now, this is something I did. I took a picture of my Bible page. I don't know if you can see that. But here, I just wanted to point something out to you in chapter 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, saved people, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. That you were Gentiles carried away with the dumb idols, even so on and so forth. Now, look at verse 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, same Spirit. Differences of ministry, same Lord. Diversities of operation, but the same God. Now, you ever heard anybody say, well, I don't believe in the Trinity? Well, Paul does. Spirit, Lord, God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You see that? Wonderful thing. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And then he starts in verse number 8. That's just something I wanted to show you. How that thing is laid out. About the Holy Spirit, the Son, and God the Father. All in this thing given you. Now, in verse 8 of chapter 12. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Now, I'm not going to take a lot of time because I'm wanting to get to chapter 14. Wisdom, that is a gift. There are people that can just read, study, and for somehow they, by the Spirit, they're easy to understand and get wisdom. And then on top of that, there's knowledge. You say, what's the difference in wisdom and knowledge? Wisdom is knowing the facts. Wisdom is how to apply the facts. Wisdom is knowing what to say. Knowledge is when to say it. There's a big difference. Some people have that gift. You ever met somebody that always said the wrong thing at the wrong time? They don't have the gift of knowledge. They might be smart. They may have the gift of wisdom. They just don't know how to apply. So, you know, there you go. To another faith. Now, that's not saving faith. Everybody has saving faith. But then there are some. Have you ever looked at somebody and said, man, boy, their faith is strong. It's a gift. Another, the gifts of healing. Now, those, remember, sign gifts. Gifts of healing. Who requires a sign? So the gifts of healing just by passing. Now, I know when I say this on the internet, man, people just, oh, Brother Jeremy, you ought to heard him Wednesday night. He don't even believe God heals anymore. I didn't say that. I don't believe in the gift of healing. There's a difference. Can God heal today? Yes, he can. But you don't need me to touch you for God to heal you. That's the difference. Now, all of these guys on television. I said I wasn't going to get hung up right here, but it's some, you know, some of these internet folks need to hear this. They watch these guys on television. They say, well, we got the gift of healing, and they're bringing everybody, and they're slapping everybody on the forehead. I'm not making fun, okay, folks? I'm not making fun, but I'm just like scratching my head going, this stuff ain't, something ain't adding up here, okay? The people in the Bible, Paul, Peter, all those apostles that had the gift of healing, if they touched you, you was healed right then. You ain't got to wait 2 weeks. You didn't have to go to the doctor to check it out. You was healed right then. Now, them birds on TV say they got the gift. Why in the world did half their church get COVID? We got the gift of healing. Why? Because they don't have the gift of healing. Or the nursing homes wouldn't be full. And the hospitals wouldn't be full. Can somebody give me an amen right there? I mean, I'm just from the country, but I know how to think for myself. I got the gift of healing. Well, don't do it down here at the church. Get in my car. I'll drive you down to the hospital, and let's see what you got. If not, put up. Well, they say it's put up or shut up. Maybe that's not proper for the internet, but Lord have mercy. Put up or shut up, you know. Anyway, here we go. To another, the working of miracles. Another, prophecy. Now, you say, has anybody got the gift of prophecy? You say, can you prophesy right now? I sure can. I can do it for you right now. The Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Yeah, that's prophecy. Now, here's how the Corinthian church is doing it wrong and how some of the guys on television do it wrong, the gift of prophecy. Well, I tell you, I'll do that on another one. To another, discerning of spirits, discernment of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, different kinds of tongues. We learned that tongues are a language. Some people had the gift to speak different kinds, different multiple languages to reach people that didn't speak the same language they did. I've preached in Mexico several times, and I had a video. I was going to try to pull it up there, but it went to Mexico this last time, and everybody in there spoke Spanish. Well, you know me. I barely can get through English. And so I'm up there preaching. And what's really tough, you say two sentences or a sentence and a half or something, and then you have to pause. And this guy over here, he speaks, he's American, but he's a missionary to Spanish-speaking people. And so he's up there, and he has to tell them what I just said, a sentence and a half, in Spanish. And then I done forgot where I was going, and so I'm, you know. And then, now, if I had the gift of tongues, I could have preached to those people in Spanish and they would have understood what I said without me needing an interpreter. Those are the differences. These apostles that had the gift of tongues could go, the Holy Spirit would get, they would go to a bunch of Frenchmen and man preach the gospel to them in French. They had a divert, different kinds of tongues. They were able to spread the gospel that way. Anyway, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh so and so forth, dividing every man severally as he will. And then verse 12 and so on talks about the whole body. What we were talking about a while ago. Everybody can't be the eye. Everybody can't be the foot. So on and so forth. Now, look at verse 28 of 12. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Watch this. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? You see. Well, I've been told that if I didn't speak in tongues, I wasn't saved and couldn't go to heaven because you have to speak in tongues to have the evidence of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. But Paul must have not knew that. Does everybody have the gift? No. Do all interpret? No. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I you a more excellent way. And then he goes into chapter 13, and he starts talking about the context of 1 Corinthians 13. We read it a lot of times during weddings. Charity, the love, charity, the love chapter, love. And basically what he does in chapter 13, Paul goes in and he says, look, y'all speaking in tongues in the church, and you're doing all of these. And what it is, Paul is trying to say, if any of these gifts that you have draw attention to yourself, you're of a sounding brass and tingling cymbal. That's what he says, what? Verse 1. If you have not charity, I become a sounding brass. It's like a kid up there beating on pots and pans, drawing attention to themselves. The Spirit lives inside of you. He will always 100% of the time point toward Christ. When a person gets up out of order and attention is drawn, y'all with me? God's not in that. Boy, that hurts. Well, hallelujah. Let's see where I wanted to go right here. It goes in all this. Verse 11. Paul, talking to the Corinthians, he's already told them there's a bunch of babes in what? Chapter 3? When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Verse 13, and now by the faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Now, all right, let's look at chapter 14. That's where I was trying to hurry to get to. In chapter 14. And there's the guidelines. Now, while we're going to 14, the gift of prophecy. I just did that for you a while ago. Prophecy. The gift of ministry. Some people have the gift of ministering, being able to minister to people. Being able to love people, being able to minister to them right where they're at. They have the right words to say. They have a way of ministering to people. That's a gift. The gift of teaching. Not everybody has that gift of teaching. Exhortation, building people up. If a preacher gets up and all he's doing is beating you down, yeah, there are certain sermons where, you know, you shear the sheep, as you say. But you can only shear the sheep. Them shepherds only do it once a year. And they let that hair grow back. And they put, while they don't have any hair on them, you know, the next Sunday they put some oil and salve. Man, I've been to some churches, man, they shearing you every Sunday. I'm like, there ain't no hair left. Let up. Give me a good salad. I need something to, you know, rub on the wounds here. Exhortation, building people up. Not tearing down, but building people up. That's a gift. You know people, every time you get around them, boy, they just build you up, you know. You get around Chuck, Charles, your hair growing out? It looks like you're growing some. I tell you what, don't. Just building people up, you know. The gift of giving. There's a gift of giving where people, they, And it's not necessarily, you know, who's the biggest giver in the church. That's not where the gift of giving is. You ever made this statement? Lord, they'd give the shirt off their back to, you know. Ain't got anything to do with church. It's just people giving. Just have a giving heart. That's a gift. Some people are. The gift of ruling. A lot of wives have that gift. But being able to rule, being able to, that doesn't mean, you know, just being able to rule and keep things in line. The gift of mercy. Now that's very similar to the gift of helps. Just having mercy on people. There are people, it don't matter what you do, there are people that have the gift of mercy. It reminds you of your mama sometimes. Don't matter what you do, man, they're always going to welcome you with open arms, and, you know, they just have mercy on you. There are some people just have judgment on, but there's a gift that's mercy that people do. And then you go to 1 Corinthians 12, the gift of wisdom. I already told you about that. The gift of knowledge. When to say it, the gift of faith. I already talked about that. Not saving faith, but they just, you know, man, they've got strong faith. The gift of healing. Some of those apostles did have the gift of healing back in the Acts period. Where is this written? 1 Corinthians, the Acts period. Apostles are still going on. They're starting to die off. The apostles did have the gift of healing, did have the gift of miracles. Do you understand why some of these right here are not mentioned over here? You see that? If people could see that. The gift of prophecy, well, that's the same thing as over here. Discernment, being able to discern. Yes, there's a Holy Spirit, but then there are evil spirits. And there are people that have the gift that can discern, are very good at discerning the good from the evil, if you know what I mean. The gift of tongues. Those apostles had the gift of tongues to be able to minister to people that didn't understand the language. This is not, again, folks, when I say stuff like this, people think I'm making fun. I'm not making fun. When it says the gift of tongues, it's not talking about you shine Mahonda, shin, knee, thigh, thigh, my name is shin, shin, my name is thigh. I ain't talking about that. Paul, it's an actual language. You say, but it says an unknown tongue. It would be unknown to me if I went over to Mexico and started preaching in Spanish. They would understand me, known to them, unknown to me. You see. So, interpretation. We're fixing to get into that in just a second. Helps, very similar to mercy. Government. There are people that are good administrators, good at putting stuff together, good at all that kind of stuff. They're good at, that's not talking about the U.S. government. That government is just, they're good at it. Helps. We got people around here. You put a sign-up sheet, man, there's people out there that's going to sign up. Before you ever put the sign-up sheet out there. They just have that gift of helps. They want to. Now, some people in the church don't. Everybody don't. And it's, you know, maybe not your thing, and that's fine. You got another gift somewhere. And in Ephesians 4, the apostles, prophets, the apostles and prophets were in this first set of the Acts apostles. Apostles, prophets were here. Evangelist, pastor, teacher, here. That's how that thing works. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teacher. The way that thing is laid out in Ephesians. Now, these apostles had the gift of healing, miracles, tongues, so on and so forth. You say, why don't we have them today? Well, let me show you. Before we hold your place, and let's go right back to Acts chapter 1, and I'll show it to you real quick. Acts chapter 1, Judas has died. He went out and hung himself. So they're down to 11 disciples. They need 12. I can tell you the reason they need 12, but I really don't have time. But 12 is a Jewish number. 12 is the number of the nation of Israel. So they have to have 12. To bring in the kingdom, they have to have 12. They've got 11, and they need to replace. So they were going to replace Judas. Verse 21. They got two men they're fixing to choose from to replace Judas. Verse 21 of Acts 1. Wherefore, these men, which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Y'all see that? You know what the qualifications to be an apostle? Had to be baptized by John. You had to witness the resurrection of Christ. Y'all see that? And it even says, I think, when he was taken up, let's see, unto the same day that he was taken up from us. There we go. Must one be. So, you had to witness the resurrection, had to be baptized with John, and witness the ascension going up to be an apostle. So, all through right here, there's still apostles in this area. They're still trying to reach some Jews. But when all of these guys die out, so does this, this, this. You with me? Who requires a sign? And so when these guys die off, you don't have these anymore. Now I know everybody don't agree with that, and that's totally fine. I'm going to take two baby answers. Let me get questions after. I'm almost done. If you'll just hold that question. Anyway, there you have it. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 14, and I'm going to finish up right here. Look at 14:22. 14:22. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Who requires a sign? Jews. And tongues are for what? A sign, which are to who? Jews. You say, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. All right, remember this, Acts. The only three places tongues are mentioned in Acts 2, Day of Pentecost. Actual languages, we already looked at it. Acts 10, Cornelius gets saved. In his house, when they get saved, they start speaking in tongues. Acts 19, those two guys that Paul ran into that were baptized with John but didn't know about the Holy Spirit on Acts 2, that coming down on the day of Pentecost. They didn't know anything about that. So Paul tells them about it. They speak with tongues. 2, 10, 19, only three places, and Jews were present in all three places because tongues are for a sign. And so those Jews, especially when those Gentiles got saved in Acts 10, if they wouldn't have spoken in tongues, Peter would have never believed it. But after they spoke in tongues, Peter said, they got it just like we did in Acts 2. I perceive that God is not respecter of persons. Boy, I wish people could see that. Only three places. All three places, Jews are present because tongues are for a sign. Jews require a sign. There you have it. No tongues. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st Timothy, Titus, Philemon. None whatsoever. $500 if you can find it. Make sure I got it first. Anyway, now, 1 Corinthians 14.
Verse 23.
We just read 22. Let me read 23. I skipped a lot of this, but let me read 23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? Sunday morning, man, with all the churches coming together in our, you know, our church, and everybody's just going to town, and they're speaking other languages and whatever, and we got somebody comes in, they're an unbeliever, this is the first time they've been to church, and, you know, you just put yourself in that situation, you know. You ain't understood nothing nobody has said. You might as well have stayed home and watched football. Verse 24, but if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. Thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. You get up here and start preaching, prophesying, preaching that Bible. And boy, they understand it. And boy, it starts piercing their heart. Man, here they come down here to the altar. Which one you'd rather have? You say, Paul's trying to say. Look at verse 27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it... All right, here are the requirements. Y'all ready? This is for when Jews are present. Paul says when Jews are present and people that don't understand, they don't speak your language, and they're in here, and this is going on. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two. Or at the most three. And that by course, that means one at a time, not all three at the same time. One, two, or three, no more than three. And let them do it one at a time by course. And let one interpret. How many churches have y'all ever been to that right there was followed? Verse 28. But if there be no interpreter, let him sit down, shut up, in the church. Never mind, that was a side note in my Bible. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Hey, if you want to do that, go in your bed, by your bed before you go to bed, or go in your closet, shut the door, and you just talk any old language you want to God, help yourself. Nobody's going to be confused but you. Help yourself. You see? Verse 29, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge, so on and so forth. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. Here's all the requirements, and so on and so forth. Now, for ye may all prophesy one by one. So, when I get up to preach or whoever, you do it one at a time. Can you imagine? We just all three, we're going to have three preachers Sunday morning. They're all going to preach at the same time, and y'all are just going to have to follow along best you can. Verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion. Y'all see that? There are requirements for that in this age. While apostles are still going on, these are the requirements. In 1 Corinthians 14, these are the requirements for that. Now let me read you a verse. Ladies, you ready? You ready for this one? Y'all ready? Verse 34. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for it's not permitted unto them to speak. Now, before y'all charge the podium up here, what are we talking about? In 1 Corinthians 14, what are we talking about? We're not talking about a woman getting up singing a song. We're not talking about a woman testifying, saying, hey, you know, the day I got saved, whatever, right? See, context. context always defers. That doesn't mean a woman can't say nothing. What can she not do? And every chance I've ever been into, it's always, what are they going to do with that? I love women. I mean, my mama was one. I love them. But there are requirements when it comes to this right here. Going on right here in 1 Corinthians, when these guys are still alive and well, and you got people in the congregation that all don't speak the same languages. Let's just real quick, last few minutes here together. Sunday morning, we got some English people in here. We got some Spaniards in here, and we got some Frenchmen in here, whatever. And they've come to visit our church, and let's say we were living in 1 Corinthians day right here, and I was an apostle, and I was baptized by John, witnessed the resurrection of Christ, and the Holy Spirit would come upon me, and I'm up here preaching, and I would preach in English, and then I would turn around and preach in Spanish, and then turn around and preach in French, and then, so everybody would know what I said. When I started preaching in Spanish, somebody had the gift of interpretation would stand up and tell everybody in English so they would know what I said so nobody would be confused. You understand? Because that, let me find one more verse before we close. I know I keep saying that, but somebody help me where Paul said, I'd rather speak. All right, 19. Look at verse 18. Paul says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all. Yet in the church, I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. And the church said, amen. Ain't that good? The Bible is really easy to understand. Now, a lot of people, they say, well, my church, and that, hey, look. You say, well, that's Baptist. That's not Baptist. That's Bible. There's a bunch of stuff Baptists believe I don't believe the Bible says. And I love being a Baptist. But now, when the Baptists come across and they don't, I throw the Baptists out the window. I'm staying right here in this Bible. Somebody said, are you one of them Baptists that think y'all the only ones going? I said, nope, I don't even think half of them are going. But that's what Paul says. And then in 20, he said, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be here, but in understanding be men. 1 Corinthians 14, 12, 13, 14. He's trying to straighten church at Corinth. Y'all do it the right way. Here's the guidelines. I need to remind you. Here's the guidelines. Here's what you do. So there's no confusion, because God's not the author of confusion. You see. Very simple. I think. And again, I'm telling you, some of my closest friends, pastor, go to these type churches, and they linger on that. That's their main focus when they get into church. That's their main focus right there. And I don't know. I leave confused. Don't know what they say. Anyway.